The opinions expressed in the Keeping It Sporty podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Keeping It Sporty podcast. As always, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or on our website at keepingitsporty.com. On today's episode, I am joined by a very special guest. He is an executive producer at Sportsnet and also teaches various sport media courses at Toronto Metropolitan University. I welcome to the show Joel Darling. Joel, how's it going? And I wanted to ask, how have these NHL playoffs been for you so far?
Oh, great. Thank you, Elias, and thank you for having me on today. I look forward to it. How are the playoffs going? Well, lots of drama. I mean, as everybody can tell and everybody knows, the first round of the playoffs seems to be the best drama of the playoffs, and I don't think anybody's been let down by this. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe Maple Leaf fans have been let down so far, but I mean, overall, I always have loved the first round. You know, it's every other night for us here at Sportsnet. But of course, if you have a specific team that you follow, knowing that it's every other night, it's a pretty exciting time of year. So yeah, really looking forward to the rest of the playoffs. But so far, you know, we're 3.5, almost 4 weeks in. It's pretty exciting television for sure.
Yeah, I mean, no shortage of drama, even though my Montreal Canadiens got eliminated, of course, early on. It was still a very fun series to watch, of course. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Joel, I wanted to start with this. Of course, your father, the extremely famous Ted Darling, RTA graduate of 1958, play-by-play broadcaster for the Buffalo Sabres for over 20 years. I wanted to ask you, what kind of an impact did your father have on you, and why you wanted to work in this industry? And maybe just discuss a little bit about how you got into the sports media industry.
Yeah, sure. Great question. Listen, I was when I grew up, I was born in Ottawa, and you know, I was a kid who my dad took to work occasion when I was younger. You know, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, even younger. And he worked at CBC in Ottawa on television, and eventually he ended up working in Montreal, working on Hockey Night in Canada, doing intermissions there. So as a young kid in Ottawa, he would take me to the radio station, the TV station, the odd time, and even had the luxury of, you know, going on the train with him to Montreal for a few games in the late 60s, and going to the old Forum and seeing what he did. And then when he got the job in Buffalo in 1970, when he was hired actually by Punch Imlach at the time, again, I was playing hockey. I was interested in hockey. And I became a little bit of a rink rat at the old Memorial Auditorium in Buffalo. So if I wasn't sitting with my mother in the seats, you know, we were running around the rink. And as I got a little bit older, I ended up working in the press box as a runner, taking stats actually down to Punch Imlach and the coaches. And so I became a little bit of a rink rat, but I had a chance to also sit by him. I can remember going on the road for a few games with him with the Sabres back in the 70s. Actually sat on the bench once in Detroit, if you can believe it, on the end of the bench, on a road game once, and spent time in the dressing room as well as a 12 or 13 year old. So as far as an impact goes, I mean, I watched him do his job. He loved his job, loved doing it, loved everything about it. And, you know, from my standpoint, I was able to watch him and, certainly liked the on-air side of it. I tried a little bit of on-air when I got to Ryerson early on. I didn't have the voice like him, but I did find my niche, which was producing, which again put me in that business. But you know, when you say impact, I mean he had a huge impact on what I did. I wouldn't be in this business if it wasn't for him, or watching what he did, and knew how much he loved being involved in hockey.
Yeah, certainly, and I mean just a truly amazing career, of course, for both yourself and your father. I mean, following in his footsteps in the industry is absolutely incredible, in my opinion. And I wanted to ask you this as my next question. I mean, what would you say have been some biggest turning points for you, or defining moments maybe in your career? So something that sticks out for you.
Well, I mean, I'm going on 37 years at CBC Sports. So although I work for Sportsnet, we're part of the deal with Sportsnet, with CBC. And I mean, I would say, you know, when I look back to, you know, the late 80s when I did get out of university, I started working with CBC, you know, in a minor role. But when I was, you know, I became an associate producer there. And I think there's probably a few points over my career that kind of stand out. One, when I was first asked by the former head of CBC Sports to produce the CFL on CBC, which was in 1990, that was really a turning point where I became a producer. After that, I would say the next step was becoming a senior Olympic producer in 1996 when the games were Atlanta. And then, you know, the biggest year, and probably when I look back on my career, I became the executive producer of the Olympics on CBC for the games in Sydney in or in 2000. You know, prepared for that, went over to the games. And when I was actually over there in 2000, I got a call from the newer head of sports at that point, was to take on the role as executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, which, you know, was an amazing time, really. I mean, I was the executive producer of the Olympics and the Hockey Night in Canada at the same time. So it was a crazy couple of years because I was overseeing the Olympics through Sydney and through Salt Lake City, which was in 2002, as well as being in charge of Hockey Night in Canada. So those are a few of the points along the road, and I certainly feel lucky to be have involved with Hockey Night in Canada as long as I have been. And you know, as much as I've been involved in it as a producer, executive producer, if you will, I go back to the late 60s and seeing my dad wear the old powder blue jacket back in the 60s. So my association with it has been a long time. So I'm blessed to have that.
Yeah, truly, a lot of history, a lot of great moments indeed. And of course, with any industry, there's always many things that are enjoyable and some things maybe that are a little bit challenging. So, I mean, what's one thing that maybe you love about this industry and something that you find rather difficult?
Well, I'm not so much involved in it as I was in the past, but certainly budgets and forecasting where you spend your money is always something that's difficult in this business. There always seems to be not enough of a budget. I consider myself quite lucky, though, over the years that for the most part, it might have been challenging, but we got through it. But I know today, you know, budgets are tighter than ever, and you know, the challenges in anything really, but certainly in this business is, you know, how do you make programs terrific with budgets that you have? Because budgets seem to be shrinking. The technology seems to be getting better, seems to be more expensive at times, but you know, times have changed a little bit. COVID has changed that as well. And certainly when I look back at COVID, that's probably one of the biggest challenges that everybody had. And for us in particular, trying to figure out how we produce content when you couldn't be in your building and you had to do it via Zoom or whatever the case might be. But you know, little things over the years that seem to change from year to year.
And with the addition of, you know, like you mentioned, new technologies and just, I mean, budgets being tighter than ever, how do you think, in your opinion, the industry has evolved over the years?
Well, I think one of the biggest things, you know, where the business has evolved is around the technology and around access to feeds, right? When you think of the way we used to do the Olympics at CBC, we weren't able to bring all kinds of lines back from wherever those Olympics were. We had to do a lot of the producing on site. You know, so when I look back at some of the Olympics I was involved in, and certainly maybe even some of the first ones in the 90s, we had a big team of people that were on site because we had to have edit suites on site because all the content or all the feeds from the various sports did not come back to Toronto. The technology wasn't there, the bandwidth to bring all those lines back here. So, you know, again, if I go back into the 90s, there was a lot of people on site. We would have an edit suite for hockey. We would have an edit suite for skiing and edit seat for figure skating and things like that. So nowadays, all those facilities are now back in Toronto at the broadcast center, and all those feeds do come back. So, you know, if you're working on a figure skating show, all the feeds are coming back to Toronto and they can be edited there. So being able to not have to spend the money on travel, not have to spend the money on per diems and space at a broadcast center for an Olympics saves a lot of money. So things have really changed where how to produce those shows for Olympics anyways are very different. And it's changing with hockey, baseball, football as well. You know, the days of everybody on site to produce a hockey game have changed over the years. Now we still do that, but there are some of the shows that even during the Olympics changed and were done as remote productions where only some of the people were on site. And as you know, there's lots of broadcasts now being done where they just watch off the television and they marry it and put it to air. So, you know, less people are traveling and less facilities on site. So the world certainly has changed and it continues to change. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, Elias. Like, I still can't imagine getting into a car that would drive you around the town without a driver, but people are becoming used to it, right? So just like in this business, there are things happening where you would have never thought you'd feel comfortable about that, but ultimately, technology has changed things where people are going to become more comfortable with it and make things easier and cheaper.
Yeah, that's always the big thing, right? Money. It always comes down to that, in my opinion. I agree with your example about self-driving cars. I mean, we're seeing this for the first time, and it's like, I don't. I agree. I'm with you. I wouldn't feel safe going one of those things either right now. But and it kind of leads me into my next question, talking about AI and automating the production process. I mean, how do you think that's really changed it, and where do you see it maybe going in the future?
Well, I haven't been involved in a lot of AI. I mean, obviously from a virtual world and virtual reality, there's a lot of things that we're doing here at Sportsnet that, you know, is innovative and forward thinking and cool and looks great on air. Having said that, you know, I hear of different people who put information into AI and it produces a movie or it produces a character. You know, voices, all kinds of things. So I would say I haven't delved into that a lot, but I've started to see things that really are quite amazing, and it certainly opens up a whole new world, and it's not going away. We're hearing more and more about it every day, and the little things that I hear, you know, make me think, boy, I gotta get up to speed on some of those things because I've seen some things that are really, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you would never think that's possible, but it truly is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I hear they're even doing broadcasts now, and they take it a broadcast in English, and through AI, they make it sound real into different languages essentially. So I think there was a broadcast they took, and they did it in English to French, and then to Serbian, and so on and so forth. And really, it sounds like a human's voice was talking. So I mean, it's quite remarkable and quite scary at the same time.
Well, if you know, when you think of something like that, we did an initiative this past year where we did Hockey Day in Canada broadcasts in six different languages. Actually, it was 10. So that included English, that included Punjabi, which we do weekly, and we do some in Cree as well. But we had to go out and hire a company that actually hired broadcasters to do that. So, and they do this on a regular basis, but you know, whoever was doing, maybe Mandarin, maybe a Canadian citizen who's has a relationship with this company is doing it in his basement. But now you can think of, you know, even what you mentioned is that if we had an English broad, we have an English broadcast. If we wanted to one weekend say, hey, we'd like to do it in 30 languages, and we went to one specific company that it's a turnkey operation. They're not even actually hiring broadcasters. They're doing it all through AI. So the sky's the limit, certainly, with it. And that's one thing I hadn't heard of, but it, you know, it makes sense when you tell me you've heard of that because that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, truly remarkable to see where AI is going to take us in the future. But I wanted to move to this now. I mean, one role of the producer, of course, is to sort of oversee the entire production process. How do you manage collaboration between the various crew members, talent and the directors, et cetera, to ensure a smooth production?
Well, I mean, listen, the main issue around all of that is communication, right? It's making sure that as a producer, you're communicating with everybody. So you've got a director, you might have a graphics coordinator, you might have an associate director, you might have somebody who's building graphics. But it really comes down to communication. And it doesn't start, once the show starts, it starts well before that. So, when I think of different shows that I've worked at over the years, it starts with the producer coming up with ideas, but then starting to collaborate with his group, and everybody would have different roles. And obviously, the commentator is a big part of that. But if there was a show that was on a Saturday, you don't start working on a Friday, and you don't start working on a Saturday morning. You're thinking about it probably all week. So, as a producer, you need to bring everybody together in order to make sure that they have that one goal, which is to produce the best broadcast possible. So that means getting ideas from your commentators, getting ideas from your other production group, your director, whoever that might be, and then laying out the plan for the show, whatever that show might be, whether it's a 5-minute show, an hour show, intermissions, whatever the case might be. But it's communication all the way through, and it doesn't stop until you get off the air, because the best shows are the ones that sometimes you're changing while you're on the air. And again, being able to communicate that with your group, being able to take ideas last minute and turn them into good content is important. But there's no better word to tie to that than communication.
I recall you saying you even sometimes use sticky notes when you were telling me this one time to pass to Ron McLean sometimes when he's on the air, when you
Oh,
need
yeah.
to tell him something sometimes as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, we all do that. Now sticky notes might be a little bit more, from days gone by, because you have computers in front of you, you can text, things like that. But listen, in the end, you need to get the information right, and information does change at times. But even on the set of Hockey Night in Canada, we have a stats person who's constantly in and out with different pieces of information. Sometimes he can just yell it, but other times, it needs more information that goes on a card that's put in front of him. So that'll never go away, instant information. But ultimately, you need to be able to communicate with your crew members, and you need to get information to your commentators quickly, and even answer questions from them. We may give them information, but a lot of times they're yelling out, what about this? Or, different questions that they need some answers quickly on. So yeah, all it's communication, and of course that all adds to really good preparation.
Communication and preparation, that's two big keys, of course, right there, that in this industry.
Right.
And finally, I wanted to end off with this. Of course, you've had an illustrious career in this industry. What's the best piece of professional advice that you'd say you've ever received from somebody that you can share right here?
Oh, good question. I'm not so sure. I mean, I might go back to my dad, and I'm not so sure he had exact words of wisdom, but I think the best advice I got from him was really to work hard, to be prepared, to communicate, and enjoy what you're doing. And I think maybe that last part, enjoy what you're doing, sticks out the most. I saw what he did over all those years with the Sabres, and I just thought, boy, I'd like a job that I could love as much as he does. And I think, again, just by watching him in action, and knowing what he got out of the job, was probably the best advice that I ever got. And it still sticks with me today. I don't think in all the years I've gone to work that I've ever thought, man, I got to go into work again. I've never had that feeling. And I feel lucky because of that.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't enjoy what you do, why do it at all? Right?
Right. Yeah,
That's
exactly.
definitely exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Joel, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it and hearing all about your career and, of course, the legend that your father was as well, and you're following right behind him in his footsteps. So thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it, and keep up all the great work with Sportsnet and CBC.
Thanks. Appreciate the time and glad to join you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Joel. Take care.
Bye-bye.